It's time for another showdown for the ages as the Asylum Avenger, the Kaiju Killer, the one and only Megalon-sized shark takes on the most dangerous prey in all of direct-to-DVD movie history, that of post-Urkel Jaleel White. It's man versus beast versus another beast this week as we scuba dive into the oceanic waters of Monster Mayhem. This is Kaiju versus History, Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus.
Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your big-bellied crocodile host, Patrick, and joining me is a Carly Winslow from Family Matters' Worst Nightmare. It's Miles. Hey, Miles.
What's up, buddy? This is an odd movie cover, right?
I mean, the fact that this made it to our list is a little nutso, but yeah, I put all the Mega Sharks on here and not a ton of the other Mega movies.
You did.
This one is. You know, it goes into, it's a whole versus series, and that
it,
is a very,
it is a versus series. I will contend we didn't do Lake Placid versus Anacondas, so you know, I'm just saying we need to be equal opportunists here.
We'll go back and look at all the Lake Placids and see if they're worth doing, but I really don't think.
I mean, one of them has Betty White, and that in and of itself, like, automatically means it should be talked about.
Well, there's a whole subgenre of large monster movies that are just big creatures, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, but if we did big creatures, we would add 100 to 200 movies to the kaiju list.
I mean, and that, yes, doesn't that make that is true movie. But we have also done the Asylum movies, and I mean, I will say this, despite the fact that it is a versus, mm-hmm. It's not really a kaiju. I mean, it's two big animals fighting. This is a cockfight. It's a prehistoric cockfight.
Yes. And Crocosaurus, as much as it has a cool, very name, I would say kaiju sounding name, is, I mean, you could have called this large crocodile. Yes. And I mean, it is a lot of rehashing of kind of action slash plots from the first movie. I kind of like this one more, because it was less serious than the first.
Well, do you also like this one more because it has, like, at least two people that you actively like to watch on screen in Jaleel White and Robert Picardo?
I was going to make some jokes about Urkel, all the Urkel jokes that I can, but Jaleel White might be the best he's ever been in this movie. He's actually good.
You need to calm down there, because he's Sonic the Hedgehog and he's phenomenal.
Well, yes, maybe live action then, but he
fair.
You know, it's not homed in. I mean, same thing with Robert Picardo. He's got a kind of a silly general character.
He's got a silly role, but like he delivers the. I mean, again, these people are not giving good material.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like most folks on these Asylum movies show up and are just given a F+ script. It's just like one step above, like, yeah.
I have seen Robert Picardo do amazing work in Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah, I mean, I actually don't know much Jaleel White, but he's serious enough. I mean,
honestly, his voice work as Sonic is honestly very impressive.
And he's good here as our main protagonist. And the other thing, this movie just like gets off to a rollicking start with Mega Shark attacks on the U.S. Navy. And yeah, I don't know. I like this maybe slightly better, but this is only movie 2 of 4 in the Mega Shark series. And they get progressively more kaiju-esque, I would say. So we'll get into the other ones later. But yeah, this is 2010's Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus by the Asylum.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess while we're talking about it, Patrick, what's in a title?
Well, it translates out to a bunch of different things. Indeed, the title turns into Killer Shark versus Giant Crocodile in Hungary. Mexico called it Shark Fisher's Super Lizard, which is also a cool name. I mostly want to talk about, and there's, you know, a lot of different differentiation for like Mega Shark in other countries. Same way Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, the previous movie had some different translations, but for the most part, this direct to DVD film in a lot of places was just localized into different, you know, titles. The main thing I want to talk about is the taglines of whoever wins, we lose, which is just straight up the tagline for
like copied and pasted.
Yeah. And another tagline was death has a new set of teeth, which that's okay. You know,
it's fine, I guess, but like
have a whole bunch of rows of teeth. So that makes sense.
It's fine.
Is that the tagline that you're suggesting for this movie, Miles? It's fine.
It's fine. It's certainly better than the last one. Fine. Like, and honestly, I'm surprised that Asylum hasn't done that at least once. Like, just say it's certainly better than the last one.
Hey,
like when they have one that has like any modicum of,
we can't get worse than the last movie.
You're right.
But let's talk about this movie. It really threw me for a loop when it starts off with JD Vance of Vance Refrigeration threatening slaves in a diamond mine in the DRC. I was like, where do I know this actor from? And it is indeed,
it's Bob Vance.
Oh yes, sorry, JD.
JD Vance is the vice president, like attempt, but like, it's Bob Vance.
Bob Vance, Vance Refrigeration.
Yeah, I think it's Bob Vance.
Close enough, but it's not JD Vance. It is that actor from The Office.
And honestly, like that scene is super poorly done.
Yeah, in several ways, and it's like
ways, but everything about it is not actively not good.
Well, and it's also, it's like, what is going on with Crocosaurus? Was it like, I mean, it was underground in this cave, but it was, how long has it been there? And
well, and that's the weird thing about this movie. There's no like event that like a chain of events that like set off the Crocosaurus being here. Like yeah, it just shows up. Yeah, it just shows up. And they don't also explain, like they basically said, oh, we never saw a body for the Mega Shark.
Yes,
and that's all we ever get.
It's like,
but this wasn't always Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus, was it, Patrick?
No. So early on they pitched a sequel to versus, you know, Giant Octopus almost immediately and took a poster to the 2010 Cannes Film Festival. Yes,
to what film festival? Say it again.
Cannes, advertising Mega Shark versus Gigantosaurus, and has a basically a giant T-Rex style kaiju monster.
Honestly, this poster looks so much better than what we got. This poster is awesome.
Yeah, I would have loved to see that one as well. I don't know when that was scrapped and they went to Crocosaurus, but to be honest, I think they had access to crocodile resources, maybe more than because
what resources?
Crocosaurus. Well, the CGI elements for that monster are really lacking in this film. Like, I understand.
I am an apologist for bad CGI, and this is rough. And it's not that the CGI itself is that rough. It's a couple generations old.
Into the scenes and things like that, I would say.
It's funny because I've read articles about how like unself-aware a lot of the scripts for the Asylum films actually are, because I've read articles and things from screenwriters who have pitched to Asylum of super smart self-aware movies, and they're actively not interested in that.
Yeah.
And I know that you and I have joked about this whole thing being like a money laundering scheme, which like that kind of like plays into that for me, because I don't think I want to make that much money. But like the whole thing is just it's such an odd world. Mm-hmm. And because these movies, like, I mean, they know what they're doing. I mean, we know at least from the Sharknado like press tours, and, you know, from a lot of the interviews that have come in and out from actors and people who are fans of it, that there is an element of self-awareness that the Asylum has. And so that's why I've always been like really curious as to, like, I mean, it's what makes the money laundering joke work, is that like they have actively like rejected like extremely smart ideas from these low budget movies. And I just don't understand it at all.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to spoilers have a lot more Asylum in our future as this decade. I think they have.
I'm not gonna lie. This watching this movie, I was like, you know what? Maybe we should nip this in the bud.
They have like 10 kaiju films, mostly mockbusters, but like I said, a couple of sequels to the Mega Shark series we're going to look at as well. And then they start in on Godzilla and King Kong once that movie comes out. Godzilla versus King Kong. Was that 2020?
Yeah, 2020.
So I guess that will be next season. We have a couple more Asylum kind of knockoffs in Ape versus Monster.
Monster versus Ape. It's not the monster from Monster, correct?
No. It is like a giant lizard. It is a Godzilla type, I would say. But speaking of Monster, Miles, our first 2008, which is wild to think. It was only 2 years before this movie, but was our first Asylum kaiju film. We do have a returning actress in Sarah Leaving. Is that her name? Yes. So, who was one of the two sisters in Monsters coming back as FBI agent Hutchinson in this film. And I, once again, I don't hate her either. I think she's doing a really fine job. Yeah.
Because I mean, she's actively terrible.
Oh no. I mean, she's bad. She's a bad actress, but she's not bad for this movie. I guess it's hard to explain. I think she's not
bad for this movie, but she is a bad actress.
Yes, most definitely.
At least in this role, because she's the main role in Monster, right?
Well, yeah, she's one of the two sisters.
But she's the main one, isn't she?
I think she's the one in front of the camera more, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked her fine in there. It is just nice to see there be some kind of continuity, I guess, between...
It won't be the last time we see her, because I know she's in the big crossover movie.
Yes.
So we're going to see her the 2025 Armageddon?
Yes, 2025 Armageddon. I don't think she plays either of these characters.
She does not, which is back hilarious.
In that film.
No, that character is so poorly written. I can't entirely blame her. But she is clearly written as model as secret agent, and that's what she plays.
Yep, pretty much. Our only other character, because we already talked about Jaleel White, he's a member of the Navy, but he's like science squad in the Navy.
Come on, Jaleel White?
Jaleel White. The other actor is bounty hunter Nigel Putnam, who's played by Gary Stretch, who feels like an actor I've seen in a lot of stuff before, but I don't believe I have.
No, I looked at his stuff, and I mean, I have seen Alexander. I do not remember the character he played. And that, I think, is it in terms of the stuff that he's done. I think he's mostly done modeling work, and
he's also a boxer. Boxer, yes. I'm just seeing this on Wikipedia as well. And he plays...
He's a southpaw. Kind of
British Crocodile Dundee type, and he's chasing after the Crocosaurus. So we have some, just like in the previous movie, there's some people that are chasing Mega Shark, some people chasing Crocosaurus, and then they come together, and literally I feel like half of the actors' scenes are in one helicopter set that they just keep returning to, and they're like flying around the world. Every time I like came out of the stupor of watching this movie, they were in the same helicopter set, you know, flying between locations, and then they were on a beach somewhere, and it seems like that was it for their production of this film. There wasn't a lot of other locales but that feels like it's pretty on par for the entire series. Is, you know, if it's not a hotel room kind of set that they dress to be like an office or something like that, they have one good, you know, bridge of a navy ship kind of set that they go to, or NATO command, or like I said, in this case, our main character's Sarah Leaving is also a pilot. Her character,
well, she's not so, the main character.
Well, no, but she flies them around a whole bunch. Yeah. yeah, this movie, Miles. Some interesting things to note here. I guess they believed in this series. Like I said, this is Asylum pre-Sharknado, so they were really throwing everything they could at the wall to see what stuck, because they entered this film in a competition to make an ad for the Super Bowl for Doritos. I don't know if you remember that they did a whole bunch of like kind of fan submission commercials for Super Bowl 50, I believe. No, 60.
I mean, it makes sense because the first movie had such a viral trailer that I could see why they would go after that kind of like, okay, well, we're not going to put that much money in the movie, but we'll put as much money into attempting to do a Super Bowl commercial.
Why can't I read numerals? What is XLV? Is that 45?
Do not ask me, dude.
What was the 2010 Super Bowl? I'm guessing it was
I don't know. I only know the last Super Bowl because it was like the one with Taylor Swift. Dumb. Like, it is 45. I have no idea.
It was 45. I go. But yeah, in the commercial, there's a naval ship that's like tracking Megalodon and trying to find something to sate its hunger, and they're like, "What about Doritos?"
I mean, honestly, it's a great ad. It's a good idea. I'm not gonna lie.
It might be the best part of this movie, and they did not win, so they obviously did not get in the Super Bowl. But I do find it funny that was like one of their pitches to get this movie more out there.
Yeah, why not? So let's talk a little bit about the movie itself, which, I mean, there is not a whole lot to talk about, but like here's the wild thing to me. So the movie starts where Jaleel White is, you know, studying stuff with sharks and clearly believes that the Megalodon's still out there. I like that. You have the cold open where like the shark is back. It attacks the boat. Jaleel White loses his fiance to, I guess, just a bad bump on the head.
Well, the ship was like rocked by.
Yeah, I understand that. What we saw was a bad bump on the head.
It was a very bad bump on the head. Yes. And what's so funny is all the foreshadowing. She keeps like saying how she has to meet him in like her bunk in like, you know, 20 minutes or something. And then it's like next week, see her. She is dead on the ground.
It's honestly
maybe
conceptually fine, but like execution is terrible. So the shark's back. And then we also have our wannabe Indiana Jones Dundee.
Yep. Nigel. I've already forgotten his name.
Yeah, Nigel. He has another name, doesn't he? They just call him Putnam, don't they?
Yeah, for the most part.
So he's a guy that like clearly knows more than, you know, what he lets on to. And yeah, he gets conscripted to check out the mine. Obviously, there is a creature. The person, the weirdest casting is the girl they have like kind of flagging him the mission. Yeah,
that was a weird one.
that whole sequence is weird. She gets eaten by the giant croc. The giant croc appears, and then we find out. Oh, Putnam and Terry have a history that we never, ever, ever get any insight on.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of setup, and just setting up these characters and monsters honestly takes a bit too much time, because I feel like the reason this movie does well is it shows a lot of the destruction of these creatures. And I don't know, it feels like the first movie took a little bit longer to get to the verses of the actual title, whereas this one is like, you know, the Mega Shark is out here basically acting like a shark, but also kind of like Godzilla from the Legendary series. It's like it senses another giant predator and it's like, oh, I've got to take out these babies. Well,
so that's the implication that we get. And then it's like, no, like it's just basically laying a breakfast buffet for me and I'm going to go chomp, chomp, chomp anytime I find it. It's more of that, but I don't know. The whole thing is weird. And like, so Jaleel White and Gary Stretch, like from the get-go, like, oh, this square, oh, this rogue. Like, mm-hmm. it's that whole situation that we're supposed to like get into, but like we never get like, were they on the same platoon or whatever? And something happened. Nope, they know each other. Clearly, Putnam has some sort of military background, which is how he knows Terry. But like, we don't get any sort of exposition about that. And then, frankly, that's the one that bothered me the most about this entire movie.
What?
Like that. Oh, that we don't.
Yeah. Well, it feels like indeed they were kind of writing their story as they went.
The actors along. Were, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, no, I fully agree with you. Up. Yeah. No, I fully agree. These guys were like, oh, no, we have a history, and they just ad-libbed and it worked. And it does. Like, those two actors have chemistry. It's honestly like, yes, this stuff is Saturday morning to a T. But I will say Jaleel White and Gary Stretch do a phenomenal job in terms of their bickering, their banter. And I mean, yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you. I do think it's some of the best live action work that Jaleel White's done outside of a handful of Family Matters episodes. And I'm not being funny. Like there are some legit, really solid episodes of that show where Jaleel White showcases his acting.
Yeah.
No. I know that. But yes, there is talent needed to make Urkel work, but I'm just talking about like from a dramatic perspective. There's some really, really good episodes of Family Matters that showcases Jaleel White's range, and he does honestly a fine job here. Like the script is terrible, but the actors themselves, specifically Jaleel White and Gary Stretch, you know, yeah, they're hamming it up, but like the script is calling them to, and they are doing their jobs. Like I'll give Sarah Leaving a little flack because yes, she is written as a one-note character, but she's also, I mean, playing that up to a T. I know some people might have fun with that. For whatever reason, it kind of grated on me. On the opposite spectrum, that's all Robert Picardo is asked to be doing, but like, I love him. And even him, like, just, I mean, clearly he had a free weekend and got a paycheck and was like, all right, yeah, I'm not doing a con this weekend. So yeah, sure. He needed to insulate his pool.
I was going to say he needed to like paint his kitchen or change the carpet out on his second floor. And it's like, yeah, sure. Mega Dragon versus Krakazors.
Loved to see him lament about a cigar.
Yes. I will say, I think for the most part, the actors in this movie are maybe just like one step above the previous movie, but the script is somehow worse.
It really is. It's a bad script. I mean, we're talking really about does. The Asylum. So like we're in Weissel territory, but like at the same time, it's just like, I don't know. There is something about these scripts that I feel are so disingenuous that like it irks me. Like there's something does about them that
irkle you.
That's on me. I can't say nothing to you.
Yeah, I'll own that one.
That's on me. But I mean, even having just watched, like, as I'm recording, it's spooky season. I rewatched my favorite Tim Burton movie, Ed Wood. And I can't help think about Ed Wood when talking about The Asylum, where it's like the same kind of ideas, but like zero passion. Yeah. Like, I feel like these movies, if anyone behind the scenes just had an ounce of like oomph in them in terms of like the director or the writer, like you could make these movies work. Like, I don't care that the CGI is absolute dog water, because it is. But if you had a good script and you have capable actors behind it, it works. Like, I can watch This Island Earth without MST3K because it's a well-written movie. Like, yeah, it's just goofy, but like, it's a good movie.
I do feel like I think the conceit for the filmmakers is like, they understand that like no part of this is going to really rise above the sum of it. So they're not, you know, I don't think that this went to like fifth or sixth script rewrites.
This had like maybe two.
Yes. The screenplay is by Naomi Selfman and it was written by Micho Ratour. She has not done a ton. Maybe we'll I think I have threatened to do more of these mega movies because she also wrote Mega Python versus Gatoroid. She was like, what if instead of a crocodile it was
Gator? I have absolutely seen the Mega Python movies separate from this show, so
well, I mean, that came out 1 year after this film. Year later. And she's written a few for Asylum, but yeah, I can't imagine it goes that deep, the process of making these films. Apparently the budget was pretty high, $100,000, and listed in a few places as, you know, quintupling, making $500,000 in box office revenue. But I didn't think this released in theaters, but I guess it did. I suppose it did.
I mean, it did where I live. So I feel I don't like that was this, a direct to video sci-fi original slash, you know, whatever.
Obviously, it feels like it. But did you have a favorite part of the movie? Did something stick with you,
Michael? Not real. I mean, honestly, I remember Ricardo taking the part of the cigar that he'd already like broke and relighting it was like my favorite part of the movie. I'm not even kidding. That's probably my favorite part of the movie.
I felt, and I'm just guessing this is the what has happened, but I felt like Robert Picardo wanted to smoke cigars on set, and he was
so
like,
badly
make this part of my character. Because you know, I just think he's a cigar guy, and he's like,
I could see him on like the cover of Cigar Magazine, 100%.
And then he's just like, I'm going to make this part of my character. I think this is what,
this is the rarest and most expensive cigar in the world. Like only like 50 are made, or whatever he says.
Yeah, and I was he does a very good job. But yeah, like I said, my favorite part is I do like the terrible CGI monsters, but I like Jaleel White as kind of an action star. He has some fun running with guns kind of scenes towards the end. And
no, not a single person looks cool with a gun in this movie.
Well,
I'm sorry. Like I agree with you. I think Jaleel White does a solid job, despite the fact that they can't figure out how they want him to like mourn his fiance. That whole sequence is real weird, where he like starts calling someone whatever her name was.
Right. Yeah. He's still obviously processing it, Miles. He's still processing.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, believe it or not, there was an outcry for fans of this movie, of the previous movie. There was an online petition that was calling for a third film. Because people did enjoy this one, and maybe they didn't do super well, so well, so they figured it wasn't going to get one. On the Asylum's website, there's a link to a blog post, which I think has been way back machined, but it had 500 signatories asking them to make a sequel, and throughout some of them were asking about Gigantosaurus, maybe bringing that back from the poster from Can. Others were like, it should be another ocean monster, like a giant piranha, or maybe Moby Dick.
Well, that's coming up. I think that's actually coming up.
I would love to see that.
No, I think we talked about this. I think versus Moby Dick is a actual thing that they're working on.
But someone in that text thread or that message board did suggest Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark, and that is the next movie in this series, which is hilarious.
Hooray!
And maybe for better.
Another one I have actually seen.
I don't think I've seen that. But yeah, that is where we begin to really interact with the kaiju genre. But let's get to a rating of this film, because I don't feel like it deserved a lot more chat. No. I do enjoy this more than the original, so I'm giving this a 5 out of 10. It is much more enjoyable, but still so bad. The first movie was like a snooze fest, but it did have maybe slightly better acting. But yeah, this movie has less artfully done scenes, but they were enjoyably bad. It's hard to explain, but even every time the monsters came on screen, it just made me smile because it was so awful. Miles, what about you? Personal enjoyment.
So, while I do agree with you that I think this is a better movie than the first one, I still don't have a great time with it. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy Jaleel White. I do enjoy his chemistry with his co-stars, but I mean, that's it. I don't really care for the monsters. I think the inexplicably returning Mega Shark is fine. The Crocosaurus is just it's a crocodile. It's just a big crocodile that's not very well defined. There's nothing interesting about its features. And this is a giant animal movie. Like it is kaiju adjacent, because these are not kaiju. And they're not fun ones either. I'll be honest. Like I'm I do agree that it's better, but at the same time, I can't help but give it a 4 for my personal enjoyment, because like, it's not, I don't consider this even baseline good. And for me, it's not even so bad it's good. I know that a lot of people enjoy these movies for that reason, but like, I don't even get that. Like, I watched this movie drinking with some friends, and it's still just not very fun to watch. So I can't give it too much of a higher score than that.
Miles, they're kaiju in this movie because they have the power of constantly changing size and models.
No. That is the power of bad writing and bad
terrible
filmmaking.
CGI. Yeah. At one point, Mega Sharks, just the fin is like
the size of like the of entire boat.
An aircraft carrier. It like towers like hundreds of feet in the air. And then the next scene, you see Mega Shark jumping over the same boat, and it's like half the size of the boat. I'm like,
yeah,
what is this shark's size? I can't tell you. So that gets us into our technical aspect, technical score of the movie. And I do think technically this is very bad. It does have some major players with acting talent, I would say, but they are, like I said, relegated to just in being in that helicopter for most of this film. Very bad special effects that, like I said, are still somehow charming for me for this film. The action sequence in Orlando, Florida, I really did enjoy. That's maybe my favorite kaiju part, where Crocosaurus is like on top of, you know, whatever venue that they picked it from in the Tampa area or Orlando area. I think there's a poster on the convention center that he's destroying or whatever that is a poster of Mega Shark versus a giant octopus. It looks like a shark fighting an octopus as Japanese lettering. I'm giving this a 4 out of 10 for technical.
I'm not too far from you. I'm still giving it a 3. I think the CGI is not good. And if I'm judging something technical, like, yes, bad CGI can not affect my affection for enjoying a movie, but I can still, you know, judge it. The CGI is terrible. The script is bad. The actors are what saves this movie. I think that everyone, even honestly, even Sarah, like, she is doing what's asked for of her. I don't think she can do better, having seen her act in other movies. The direction is not really, it's TV grade. It's not really excellent. It has no vision. I'm with it's a 4 for me. Like, there's nothing about this movie that in terms of its technical aspects that really stand out being above TV grade.
I thought you were going to go 3.
Right. I honestly was going to, but I was being kind to the actors.
So I did double check on this, and it did release in theaters. The only Mega Shark film that did not release in theaters is the next one we're going to look at, versus Mecha Shark, which was direct to DVD. But even the fourth film got a limited film release. You know, I don't know how many screens.
It has to have been in LA or New York, because it wasn't in anywhere where people, like, normally people go see movies, you know?
Yeah. For its importance, like I said, I do think this continues the trend of making these more into kaiju films, because this movie focuses less on the main human characters and more the monsters kind of going toe-to-toe in the Atlantic in this film. And there's some fun things, like, you know, they have the scientists like going and investigating the giant crocodile egg,
right?
And gives us more the cartoon characters I was expecting in, you know, the croc hunter,
right.
Sarah leaving looking constipated the entire film, just like straining her eyebrows. Like,
yeah, it's the worst Sarah Connor impression I've ever seen.
She looks great though. She looks the part, but yeah.
Yeah, she's a model. That's her job. She looks great, but like, it still sucks.
Yes. I'm giving it a 5 out of 10 for its importance. I think this is important to this series, maybe not kaiju as a whole, but I think this fits the mold better than the previous movie, which definitely felt more big monster, because like I said, you got some city destruction, you have people running in fear through the streets, and yeah, just not gonna a very high mark. So what about you, Miles?
Oh dude, I love you, but no, this movie's trash. It gets 3 out of 10. Like, okay. This movie sucks, and like it's one that, like, it has no bearing on the genre as a whole. Like most of these Asylum movies don't, but like this offers nothing. Like it wasn't even a viral trailer. Like if you talk about this with someone else, they'll be like, yeah, I'm sorry, what are you talking about? Like, I mean, this no. And even the versus aspect, like it doesn't really function in any sort of like whenever we have like two kaiju fighting, there is some sort of purpose or battle. And it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, these are two animals who are like, oh, one's eating the other's eggs and, you know, it sucks for the other animal, but like they're going to attack them back. It's just, it's not, there's no real like kaiju atmosphere to it. Like,
I did like
you have giant creatures fighting, but like mm-hmm. that is it. You know,
I like the ending, which once again, we don't see a body, but it ends Herberus. With Mega Shark and Crocosaurus biting each other's tails and not letting go and then just sinking down into the underwater.
Yeah, it absolutely would be an awesome visual in a better director's eyes, for sure. this gets no credit for me. It's a 3 out of 10 for me in terms of its evocative nature.
So that will bring me to a 5, you to a 4, and our podcast final, Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus, to a 4 out of 10. 4 out of 10, which is where, no.
Yeah, it's landed, about where I figured.
We landed Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus as a 3 out of 10. So
it did do better.
Movie by a little bit. I think we both enjoyed this just a smidge. And as far as Asylum movies go, we doubly enjoyed this over Monster. We gave a 2 out of 10. What's the other one? King of the Lost World, a 3 out of 10. So far, knock on
this,
wood.
This is the strongest one. It's not a high mark.
Asylum film with kaiju in it. But we have another one in, I guess, a couple years time as far as this season goes.
Not long enough.
But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode. Reach out to us on the social medias at Kaiju Versus History. Visit our website at versushistory.com. You can find our letterbox by searching Kaiju Versus History, which I've not updated in some time with scores, so I'll make sure to do that and find out what we are doing in the future. We have a list of not yet viewed films, so you can see what all is coming up. Miles, what is coming up? What are we doing next week?
Thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we go back to a remade ancient Greece. That's right. Tune in next week for History versus Wrath of the Titans.